It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Hafman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Hafman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
We are far from being crowned anything, but so are the Green Bay Packers right now after the last couple of weeks. Welcome back to the radio, everybody. We're back. We're back live on the radio. It's been a while. I kind of feel like we're still Pinocchio of Devil Radio right now, Ben. We want to be a real boy. We want to be a real show, but, you know, we had to take a couple weeks off, and now we're back.
Well, we took a couple weeks off. The Packers took a couple weeks off. It was, you know, nothing new.
Just because we took a couple weeks off didn't mean the team had to. Maybe that was all.
Well, I mean, they knew our show wasn't going to be on, so they're like, hey, let's just not show up in London. Let's just not show up at home. It's fine.
Oh, goodness gracious. But you know what didn't take a break was the drama. The drama's back. And we've got a prima donna drama king queen on the team, and he just keeps firing out stuff in the media because he just don't care anymore. So he just says it however he wants. So many people under the Aaron Rodgers bus. It's amazing.
I don't know where to start. I'm trying to be happy. I mean, we're supposed to be a radio show. We're supposed to have people want to listen to us. I mean, they're driving somewhere, or maybe they're not, or they're at home, or I don't know. But they don't want to listen to two guys grump about stuff. But really, what is there to talk about positive right now at this point? Not a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And when it's obvious something needs to change on the field with the offense, and your starting quarterback says, I'm not going to change.
And won't change.
That's a problem, because you got to change, or else you're going to keep losing, buddy. It's not that hard to figure out. But apparently, self-proclaimed genius, 18-year quarterback, $50 million a year guy, thinks he doesn't have to change, even though it's not working. It's not working.
Well, here's the thing. We could go on and get upset about it and talk about it, but why don't we let the man, in his own words, let's share with people. Let's remind you about what all world $50 million a year man, quarterback, leader, supposed leader of the team, had to say after the game. Now, first off, here's what I want you to consider. Let's consider his words and then also consider his words. Consider what he's saying, but then what he's saying at the same time. It's really interesting. So let's examine. Evan, cut one, please, hear from Mr. Aaron Rodgers.
Wobbly, only if people are breaking rank. You know, I think it'll be interesting to look at the comments from all of our guys and coaches, and hopefully we stick together. That's the important thing.
Which he adamantly proclaims every time, Ben. He doesn't look at any of that stuff. He doesn't view anything on social media or that's out in the media. He has no time for that. He doesn't look at any of it. Zero, he said, right? Zero.
Right, except he just said that he does.
Okay, and then interesting, we got to stick together. From his mouth, got to stick together. Interesting to see what guys say. Then cut to Evan, please.
Like I said, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how we all respond to this tomorrow and this week. But we got to watch our language and the kind of energy that we're manifesting.
Okay, now you could take those first two comments and you could say that might be some leadership there, right? We're gonna watch our comments, we're gonna watch what we say, we're gonna stick together. Also, good messaging. Good. In the same press conference, then this came out.
Aaron, what is it that you think you guys need to be offensively? What do you need to do?
Simpler. Simplify some things.
What do you mean by simplify? What, like, you're talking like scheme, you're talking game plans, too much volume? What do you think?
All of it. And I'm not attacking anything. I just think that based on how we've played the last 2 weeks, I think it's going to be in our best interest to simplify things for everybody, for the line for the backs, for the receivers.
Okay. So remember what he said the first two things. Then he follows a very common playbook by certain people who have used to win elections and spoken in politics, where you just say the same thing many times over. Because I think in this press conference, he said simplify or simpler like 20 times. I'm really hammering that point home, okay, in this press conference. But then in this process of Mr. Aaron Rodgers coming out and talking about that, you know, you could just say, if that's your point and your position, you could just say it needs to be simpler for everybody. But then, of course, he has to mention the backs, the line, and the wide receivers. Well, there's only one position left when you call those three out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the quarterback. That's the only one that's left. He don't need it. No. But those groups, just all other 10 guys, according to that statement, needed to be simpler. Again, Aaron Rodgers in his own words. Okay. Just reminding you, because he liked to put a spin on it here differently, but this is what he actually said. So he says these things after the game. And then, of course, poor Matt LaFleur, who we often feel bad for because he has to deal with all this garbage all the time. Then Matt LaFleur is asked about it the next day at his media time, which is like half an hour press conference on Mondays following game days. And here's what Matt LaFleur had to say with Cut 4.
When Ryan asked right off the bat about the simplification thing, you said you don't even know what that means. I guess I'm wondering if there needs to be, I mean, do you have to meet in the middle on this? Or I guess how do you handle that going forward, what his desires are and what you would like to do?
First of all, you're going to have to ask Aaron what he meant by that. And second of all, I think that every week when we go through a plan, we are 100% going into the game on the same page.
Okay, so Coach LaFleur first says, I don't even know what that means. Then they followed up and said, well, this is kind of what he said. And he said, well, you got to ask him what he meant by that, because I don't even know what that means.
Well, I would like to ask Aaron Rodgers if he would know that maybe simplifying the offense would be if he had one offense. I don't know. There's an offense that Matt LaFleur and the rest of the Packers players, not named Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard, most of them, showed up for 6 months and worked on for 6 months. And after Aaron Rodgers got his $50 million, he went on a 6-month vacation. And then he showed up in August and said, hey, I don't like this. They got to know the offense, but then they got to know my offense. So not only do they have to learn the Matt LaFleur offense, which they already knew from spending 6 months doing it, or for the young guys, the rookies, at least 3 months doing it. They have 1 month to try to get everybody on page with the Aaron Rodgers offense mixed with the Matt LaFleur offense. So who's the guy who complicated this in the first place? The quarterback. Maybe just run the Matt LaFleur offense. Also, number three topic here is...
It does work for
Aaron Rodgers is still looking at his wrist for the plays. I don't know if anybody notices that. This is year four in the Matt LaFleur offense, and he's still looking at his wrist to find out what the play call is. Maybe it's because he took a 6-month vacation and wasn't paying attention. And he's still thinking about his old stuff. I know that sometimes he calls audibles from the Mike McCarthy offense. So the only guys who know what's going on is Randall Cobb. Well, he's not on the field because he got hurt. So what are you going to do now? I don't know. It's just ridiculous to me that a head coach can't really be a head coach. Okay. It's one thing when you have a guy who's he makes $50 million. He's the most important player. He touches the ball on every single play, right? Well, if he wants to do something different than what your head coach wants to do, the head coach has zero power in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback has the ball. He can do whatever he wants. Even though Matt LaFleur studies endlessly, gets a game plan ready, and then tries to get the other whole team ready to go, Aaron Rodgers can decide, nah, I want to do whatever I want to do. And now he's going to the media and saying, now we got to simplify it to what I want to do, which is everybody just sit in one spot so I can read the defense, and then you win your one-on-one matchup. Well, that's great if you got Donald Driver and Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings and James Jones and Jermichael Finley. Sure, they're going to win their one-on-one matchups, almost every one of those guys. But you don't. You got Alan Lazard and Amari Rodgers and Robert Tunyon coming off an ankle, and Big Dog. And you know what I'm saying? Davis for some unknown reason. Those guys aren't going to win one-on-one matchups. So you have to scheme them open, Aaron Rodgers. And the only way to scheme them open is with the Matt LaFleur system, because that's what it's doing. The Mike McCarthy system and the Aaron Rodgers system is win your one-on-one matchup. Right. And that's what he wants to go back to. And that's why he brings this up in the press conference. He wants to eliminate the Matt LaFleur offense, period.
So just we got
Aaron Rodgers offense.
Not to mention an offense that works for a bunch of different quarterbacks and teams around the league right now, but you know, neither here nor there. Let's get the next cut here, Evan, if we could, before we get a break. We get some information here. Number five, Aaron Rodgers talks about what this means, because Matt LaFleur said, I don't know what that means.
On a couple drives, we didn't move the ball. It was very simple things. Very simple plays, no motion. So we need to look at everything and the guys that we got and what we can accomplish with them. And let's, you know, let's be smart about moving forward.
Simple plays. And what he said before in multiple times in the media, Ben, no motion. Can't have that pesky motion.
Well, the other thing that he seems to forget is the two drives that they actually moved a ball on. One was at the end of the first half, where the defense of the Jets just played prevent and let them do whatever they wanted. Duh, idiot. You should know that after being in the league for 18 years. And number two, the second time, they were down by 14 points, and the Jets just played off and let them do whatever they wanted. Oh, geez, I don't know. That's the same exact thing. Why do you think those plays worked? Because the Jets just let you have it, you dingus. It's not that hard. They were up by 14 points, and you only had like 40 seconds at the end of the half or whatever it was. Duh. That's why it worked. I don't know. I'm starting to get mad. I don't want to be mad. I'm supposed to be
okay.
Happy.
We have to get through this. This might be the most important show we do all year. We'll see. Because this is a turning point for the Green Bay Packers season. And until you understand what's going on between quarterback, coach, team, locker room, this is a pivotal moment. We'll examine a few more comments by the coach and Aaron Rodgers in a little bit when we come back. And then we'll turn our attention to other things. Come on back on the other side. Packer Outright Opinions with the Haven Bros. It doesn't hurt if you would try. Sometimes it's the simple life. Now, Evan, I don't know if you know this, but that's this guy on the screen here singing that, you know, so.
I know, man. It's good. It is good with the umlaut.
That B stuff that I sang halfway through, that's full voice. Knock it out of the park, B. And then I coughed. So it wasn't pleasant, I can tell you that. But when I hit it, I almost fell over. I was like, dang! But all right, back to the pack. What is going on?
All right, we do have to get through a few more things. See, but the music made you a little happier, right? Didn't it make you feel a little happier?
Well, I want it all, man. I want
another guy who wants
Packers
it all.
Packers not suck.
Well, there's a guy on the team who wants it all, and that's kind of the problem. It's a power struggle at the moment. We need to get back into some things. Aaron Rodgers explained to you before. Matt LaFleur said, I don't know what that means. Now we find out from Matt LaFleur as he gets to hear what that means. So if you could play cut six, Evan.
Part of what he said was, quote, very simple plays, no motion. I guess that was at least part of his description of what he was thinking.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But you're a big, I'm not trying to like stir the pot here, but you are a big motion guy. I mean,
it sounds like you're trying to stir the pot.
I'm serious, I'm not trying to, but I mean, that's a giant hallmark of.
No, I know. I mean, the first two drives of the game, I think the only motion we had was we had the halfback go around the quarterback. And they were man coverage, and the backer went flying out of the box. And we went three and out in both those drives. So, like, it's always somewhere in the middle of that stuff.
So Matt LaFleur fired back a little bit. Didn't seem happy. He's probably heard this before, as you could get his response. Oh, yeah, that's what it means. And then also saying, look, those first two drives where we stunk it up, went three and out. We only did motion on one play on those drives. Okay. Let's see. Aaron Rodgers then, you know, continued on with his hammering the simplification in Cut 7 and got a little snarky with one of his good old friends who he used to do a radio show with, Cut 7.
You had a pretty good idea coming into the season, right? Devontae's gone. You've got young guys in the interior of the line. Like, I guess I'm confused. Did you think you could be more complicated and run the scheme the way you've run it the last 2 years when you've been so great, and now you're realizing you can't? Or did you overestimate what you... I guess I'm just confused how now it's, oh, we need to simplify. But you kind of knew the core...
Let me explain it to you, Jay. It's not now. It's always been like this. It's always been when we struggle, we're doing too much. So whether it's with Devontae Adams out there, we're no Devontae Adams. When we get into problems is when we maybe try and do too much. So there's multiple times. But in the past, based on the personnel or the way we were playing, we could get through that and win some of those games. So this is not a new thing that I'm saying here. This has been a part of every season. Even in 2019, you know, it wasn't like we were gangbusters to start the season. But there were times where we needed to just rein it in a little bit. Let's just simplify some things. Make sure our guys are, playing with more confidence. But like I said, this has happened in 19 and 20 and 21, all the same. It's just different personnel, different years, different momentums, different energy.
Did you think that last week, or did this game really crystallize
it? No, I thought that, all the time. I mean, the simplest plays are the best plays.
Okay, so words of Aaron Rodgers, once again, his words. No one's putting words in his mouth. And we try to give a little more context there because so he can't say we're taking it out of context. All of this sound courtesy of the Green Bay Packers, their YouTube channel, and also the press conferences that they do after games and all that sort of good stuff. Now, Aaron Rodgers caught a little heat for this. So I believe on Pat McAfee, he got a chance to clarify what he meant here, even though you just heard everything he said and what he meant. But then he said, quote, "It was really an alert for our players. We need to lock in a little bit more and simplify things in our own mind. Even the most complex plays can be simplified in our mind. We just need to be better in the details." So does that sound like anything he said? He was talking about... No. He was very clear. Simpler plays, no motion, simplify things, simple. But now, because it got some heat, now, no, that's what I meant. No. What you meant is what you said, Aaron Rodgers. Matt LaFleur had a cut eight. He had a nice, interesting statement.
We never want to do anything that's going to confuse our players. And certainly I don't want to put our players in a spot where why motion if it's going to cause more confusion? I'm with that. The time we do it is either to try to gain some sort of an advantage, whether it's getting man zone tells, whether it's maybe gaining some leverage so you can have a different angle on a block. Maybe it's allowing a wide receiver a free release. Like, we don't just do it to do it.
Ben, those all sound like some pretty advantageous things, right? From running some motion, which Aaron Rodgers said, no motion or less motion.
I don't know what you want me to say here. I've already said up my piece in the first segment.
Right,
it's a bunch of crap. Rodgers just wants it his way. Rodgers thinks he's smarter than everybody else, except guess what? He's not.
Let's go to a guy.
We did a show on Tuesday on YouTube, and I showed all the problems, and a lot of the problems are with number 12. He doesn't throw the ball when the guys are open. He doesn't read the defense when he should. When the numbers are good, he still makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. And he made a bunch of them. He had 9 throws that were either errant or wrong or in the back shoulder or thrown too hard or thrown out of bounds. And Aaron Jones had 9 carries. That's the same amount. Same amount of terrible throws by Aaron Rodgers as Aaron Jones had carries. That's a problem.
Speaking of Aaron Jones, we're going to hear from him on the other side of the break because he had something to say about this too because he was asked about it. Poor Aaron Jones, nice guy. He doesn't need to be cornered with such questions. He just wants to be happy and wear his sombrero and wear his sunglasses. And now it's summer again, so this weekend you can wear your sunglasses again, Ben. Right? Sure. Well, the Packers kind of wish that they could turn back to the start of the season with the weather, but they're 3-3, still evened up. A little bit more when we come back, and then we'll move on and look a little bit forward. You're listening to Hafen Bros, Packer Outright Opinions. Truth Radio. Sorry, Evan. We're back. Hafen Bros, Packer Outright Opinions. We are here for you. Okay, quickly, Ben's getting tired of this, so he doesn't want to hear too much more. So we're going to get through our last couple of cuts. Evan, there's only a couple of ones left. Let's hear from Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones had to answer a question about complexity and motion and what that means to him.
So with our offense, you're trying to create a man and missing from their hole with all that motion and stuff. So it does a good job of that. It helps out with that.
Does it feel like you guys have been coming into games with a heavy game plan?
No, not myself, but I've also been here for a while, so I don't see how others view it. So I guess I'd have to ask them as well.
So, I mean, Aaron Jones pointed out another good advantageous piece to run in motion and said the offense has not been too heavy or complicated for him. But he didn't want to speak for anybody else, so that's cool. I get it. And then, so as we finalize here, there was just our good friend Jason Wilde again had put it more strongly to Matt LaFleur, and I thought this was an interesting one for people to hear too. And don't forget, so if Evan, if you could throw in cut 10, please.
I know what high regard you hold him in. I know how smart he is and what a great player he is. But to some degree, like, you believe in motion, do you have to just say, we're going to do this because here's the reasons why? I also don't understand shotgun. Like, when you got here, I remember talking to you about how valuable it was that you guys married up your play-action fakes with actual runs, which didn't always happen in the previous administration. Yesterday, you were shotgun 59 snaps, under center for 9. Yeah. Is that a percentage that you want? Is that what Aaron wants?
It's so going into the game, that's going into the game.
Matt LaFleur doesn't know where to go with this one.
No field open when you've gotten a gun. So our gun run game has gotten so much better that we wanted to try to encourage some of that because then that's one less hat in the box.
Okay. Well, he did his best to cover that one up, but I thought a very poignant question by Jason Wilde pointing out things that were told to him. And again, we heard all about it with this offense. They want to have the illusion of complexity, right? By having everything look the same, but then run different plays off of that action. And part of the key to that is having the quarterback under center most of the time. And now all of a sudden, this last game, 59 snaps in shotgun and only 9 snaps under center. That's not the offense that Matt LaFleur envisioned when he came here. So that's
here's another important stat, just so everybody knows.
Yeah, what do you got?
Green Bay Packers, okay, throws behind the scrimmage this season. 64 attempts in 6 games. That's number one in the NFL.
Number one. But they're number one in something.
50 completions. So they've missed 9 of them somehow. That's also number one in the NFL. Passing yards, 348. That's number two in the NFL. Passing touchdowns, 3. Interceptions, 0. However, 2 of those passing touchdowns are actually the Christian Watson run for the touchdown and an Aaron Jones run for a touchdown. But Aaron Rodgers just did a little flip in front of him. So it's a pass and it counts as a pass, but it's technically not a pass. It's really a run. That's a bunch of crap. But here's the key. Even with those 2 big plays that were touchdowns, those were like 12 and 11 yard runs, I think. Passing yards per attempt on those 64 attempts, 5.4 yards, which is 14th in the NFL. So even though they're number one in attempts, number one in completions, they're 14th, which is middle of the pack, and average yards on those plays. Mm-hmm. And all those plays come from the shotgun. because those are the play action run solution plays. And it's they do it way too much, and it's not effective. That's period. End of story.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, so I guess William's on line one. We get a caller. We'll take a caller again. You can call in 844-967-2789. Mom, I know you're listening at home, and Mom said she might call in 844-967-2789. We had to get through all that sound. Now we can get some opinions. William, what are your opinions and thoughts on all this stuff?
Hey, fellas. You know, I wanted to touch on personnel a little bit. You know, everybody talks about the NFL as a copycat league, right? And the Shanahan system, the McVay tree, if you will. The Rams are struggling this year. The Packers are struggling this year. The Rams have plenty of talent all over their offense, as does the Packers. I wonder if potentially a Robbie Anderson or a DJ Moore could make a difference to Green Bay's function going forward. But right now, I'm just not seeing it. What do you guys think about how the personnel is holding up?
Yeah, I think that's an important point, because a lot of people have talked about getting this wide receiver, getting that wide receiver. None of those guys are going to be magic wands to fix everything. They're just not. Those aren't impactful enough guys that are available. And we've talked about it over and over, Ben. You know, obviously the quarterback has not been playing well, but the biggest issue is definitely not the receivers. It's what? What we talk about every week.
It's the offensive line. But when we're talking about skill personnel,
yeah.
I mean, the line's bad, and that's part of the personnel. I mean, we got to get. Yeah. We've been saying all offseason Jenkins isn't a tackle, but all we've heard from the Packers is that he can play anywhere, and that's great. But he's a Pro Bowl guard, so play him at guard. When it comes to the receivers and the tight ends and the running backs, what bothers me is the fact that we keep switching out guys left and right, and we don't use our game-changing players on the field all the time. I understand they want different packages and all this stuff, but like, does Travis Kelce come off the field for Kansas City ever? No. Does Christian McCaffrey, now the 49er, guarantee he's not coming off the field hardly ever. Deebo Samuel, the only times they come off the field is when they're tired or banged up. Right? Leave Aaron Jones out there. You don't have to run him every play, but he can be a decoy on a play. He's our best player. Robert Tonyan, send him downfield. If you move Jenkins to the inside, then you don't have to worry about pressure from the inside, and then you don't have to also have Tonyan chip every single play, and then before he runs out into the freaking rush pass pattern, okay? And when it comes to receivers, I mean, we need Christian Watson. We're missing the speed. So if we can somehow get a hands on a speed guy, then I'm okay with that, William. I'm okay with getting
somebody
a speed guy. But it's got
to
be a stretch the field speed guy.
I think that's what MVS's value really was, too. I mean, you know, the Packers have been undefeated the last couple of years without Davante Adams. They play really well. We didn't know if that was because Rodgers was forced to read the system. How ironic would it be if MVS is really the missing piece, the catalyst to Green Bay's offensive prowess? Well, I think I saw a stat last year from I forgot his last name, but Rob, the ESPN, Rob Domofsky, the ESPN Packers beat guy. And he was talking about how when MVS is on the field or off the field, Rodgers had the number two or number one yards per pass attempt. And without him, he was like 12th or 13th. And it's like, wow, this guy, you know, he doesn't play that vital of a role from a production standpoint, but just the threat of him seems to be really impactful.
William, you're a smart man. You're dialed into our program, which makes you smart. But what I'll tell you is people laughed at us, Ben and myself. You can go back to over a year ago, heading into the 2021 season. And we both said the most important player on this offense is MVS going into that season. And people laughed at us. We're like,
no,
it's
I'm
not number 12. It's MVS, the most important guy. And you get it.
You can't put a price on that. Any defense that knows what's coming, if they know that they don't have to worry about getting beat over the top, they'll just stack the box. You're not going to be able to run against them. Sit in a little uptight zone with everything under 10 yards covered. Hey, you're good to go.
Yeah,
and I just told you that the Packers have run 64 pass attempts behind the line of scrimmage. So not only do we not have a guy who can spread the defense deep.
Like every play.
Yeah, the defense knows exactly where the ball's going. Here's the other thing. I just want to bring it real quick. The reason why the offensive line is having a hard time is the defensive line knows exactly they're not even worried about anything. They know they have to control the line of scrimmage. That's all they want to do. And the Jets did a lot of stunts and stuff that just kind of messed everybody up. But what it did was force the Packers to like get out of, they're all out of whack and all this kind of thing. But they know because the Packers pass the ball so quick into these passes behind the line of scrimmage, the defensive line and the linebackers don't have to worry about the pass as much because they're the ball's out of their hands too fast. So they're just worried about the run. So what it does is it ruins your run, and then it also makes the safeties come up because they don't have to worry about it pass deep because they know the pass is going to be out really fast because the offensive line can't block very long. It's like a, and then you also know, I know that you're reactionary to the defense. The one thing you have is you know what the play is, and you should be able to like force your will on the defense for at least a split second to get the upper hand. But the Packers run an offense where they have to actually like react to what the defense does before they decide what to do, and it's just kind of weird, and it just leads to nothing working.
Maybe that's what makes it more complicated. I don't know. William, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, man. We appreciate you listening in and all your comments. And you always have good information, too, and good takes. You can be like William, and you can call in 844-967-2789. Be a part of the show. Bring your Packer Outright opinions to our show, 844-967-2789. We do have a little bit more sound to get into. But, Ben, part of the issue has been the offensive line. We talked about that as well. One thing that's been talked about for a long time, and now people in the mainstream media have talked about it for the last couple of weeks. We've talked about it since the beginning of the season, is putting Jenkins inside, and now that Bakhtiari is back and playing more snaps, can we have Yash on the right tackle? Can we have him at tackle? Can we have him at right tackle? Because they talk about all the time, your best five guys in the field. Yash is definitely one of their top three or two offensive linemen. He should be on the field, yet they're putting in subpar guards and inside guys, and he's not on the field. Doesn't make any sense. Well, Stanevich was asked about it, and basically his explanation was, well, they were just so, they just really wanted to make sure that Bakhtiari was good, so there wouldn't be that case where, oh, now he's really not doing well, and now we got to bring Yash in to play left tackle. So based on that possibility, we're not even going to put him out there and put the best guys in the best spots, because if that happens, then we can bring him off the bench rather than actually have him be on the field at right tackle where he can help solidify the line and make an impact. Does that make any sense to anybody?
No, it's dumb, because on any given play, any player can get injured and it ruins all your whole plan all week. So not preparing by putting your best players on the field, your best five guys, which includes Yash, because he's one of the best three, if not best two, definitely the best two tackle, and not playing him because you're worried about having, ruining the rhythm of your right tackle starting Jenkins by putting Yash over there and giving him some work during the week is dumb. Because in any play, Bakhtiari could get hurt, or Myers could get hurt, or somebody else could get hurt, or in this game, they switched Royce out, put Hansen in, and then he got hurt. They had to throw Royce back in there. Stuff happens. Guys get injured. So you should just be like, hey, these are the best guys. These are the guys that are going to work all week at the positions. And everybody else needs to really study and get ready to come in if they need to, period. But you can't be like worried about, oh, he might not be good, so we better not play our best guy, our second best tackle in the game. Let's have him sit on the bench, even though he's one of the better tackles in the NFL at this point in his career right now. It's dumb. I'm really mad tonight, and I'm sorry I'm so angry and yelling, and I can't take it anymore.
Well, you should be frustrated.
They do so many dumb things. Like, it's almost like the whole, when Mike McCarthy was there, and he never played Aaron Jones, and every single Packer fan was like, Aaron Jones is really good. Can we get him in the game? Except now, we've already seen Aaron Jones be really good in 2019, and every year he gets less and less use. It doesn't make any sense, especially now. Davante Adams, last year, there were games they got him the ball whenever they wanted to. But Aaron Jones, only 9 carries, he's hardly in the game. That doesn't make any sense. He's your best guy. Give him the freaking ball.
Yeah, and it's even worse this year. He is, I think, 24th. 24 more running backs in the league have more carries than Aaron Jones. 24.
That's ridiculous.
He has 70 carries. He's ninth in yards, but 24th in the number of carries. He's got a 5.8 yard average, and he is number one in first down run percentage. 23 first downs on 70 carries. Hey, heads up, Steno on the offense. If you need a first down, maybe give it to number 33. Just a thought. We'll move on when we come back. and look forward to Washington. Maybe we get a couple things out there. We got some players from last week and all that good stuff. We'll try to pick it up here the last segment. Make it finish on a happy note. Maybe.
Maybe we'll turn
Ben's move around. I got something that'll make you
laugh. I'm really crabby. I am really mad. I'm sorry, everybody, but I can't take it.
I got something that'll make you laugh when we come back, I promise. Come on back, other side.
Working.
No, that wasn't even the real Harry Carey just before the break there. That was actually Brian, I think. Fancy Brian's impression of Harry Carey.
All right.
That's a pretty good one, too.
Brian's from Chicago, though. So he.
What did he say? What did Harry Carey always say? I can't remember.
Well, he said a lot of things. Harry Carey said a lot.
When it was a home run.
Hey. That's out of here. I don't know what he said.
I don't know. I missed him. He was awesome.
He was legendary. Oh, man.
Hi.
That's who.
I don't know. Harry Carey was the best. We used to watch. I mean, come on. We watched a lot of Cub games back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him and Steve Stone calling.
Yep. That's legit. All right. Now, I promised you something that was funny on the other side. I promised something that would make you laugh on the other side. So, Evan, if you could play Cut 11, please. This will make everyone laugh.
Aaron, two more for Aaron. Have you played well enough, not only today, but the last couple games, do you think, when the offense hasn't been able to put together a whole game?
I have to go back and look at the film, Matt, but, you know, there's always a couple plays you'd like to have back. Felt like, you know, we were just so terrible the first four drives of the game. Not sure. Again, I got to look at it and see what I could have done better. But, you know, I got to raise my game probably a little tick in order for us to come out on the winning side in some of these games.
Evan, cut 12, please.
I got to raise my game probably a little tick.
So I promised you would laugh.
I'm not laughing. I'm sick
you
of Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I want to talk. What about our? I thought we were doing a thing.
Okay, the guy. We are ready. We did have some players that weren't too bad in the game. We had a unsung hero, which we call something different. Evan, are you got it ready? I don't know if you got. Are you prepared?
Hold on one sec here. What are you talking about? We'll get into it.
We were gonna go silent but deadly players of the week. I know we're a little off kilter tonight because we had so many cuts to play. But if you do have silent but deadly player of the week,
too
that's
many
all
right. Cuts.
We
can, too many cuts, by the way.
I know it's probably too many, but we had to get there's
way,
so many,
way too many,
so many juicy ones.
Way too many.
That's okay. We'll just do it this way. Ben, silent but deadly player of the week from you. Who did you have?
And now it's time for the Hafeman Bros silent but deadly player of the week.
So in this terrible game, there were some players who did some things that were pretty decent, and some of them kind of unsung heroes. Ben, who'd you have?
Okay, there's a guy who had one pass thrown his way. He caught it for a 9-yard or 10-yard gain. He came out of the backfield on a play-action play and blocked the defensive end, got him to the ground, and then went out on a pass route. He, on a running play, came out of the backfield and smacked the linebacker and got a good block. Now, the offensive linemen all sucked, so the run didn't do anything, but he did that. There was one play where he actually ran out of the backfield to block a guy, and he missed, and that kind of sucked. But for the rest of it, he was only on the field for 5 or 6 plays, because I watched every single play today to make sure what was happening. And I was looking for a couple guys to see if maybe they would spark interest into being a player of the game. This is the only guy I saw who, on almost every play that he was in the game, was successful. And that's Josiah DeGuara. I want to see more of this guy. He does a pretty good job of catching the ball. He does a pretty good job with the ball in his hands after he catches the ball. And he's doing pretty good on picking up blitzes and stuff, and also picking up blockers and blocking in the run game. He only had like 5 or 6 plays. He couldn't even get in the game in garbage time with Jordan Love for some unknown reason. So Josiah DeGuara is my silent but deadly player because you didn't even see him on the field. That's how silent he was. He wasn't even out there. Let's get him some freaking plays. Let's go.
Josiah DeGuara is definitely underutilized. We talk about it all the time. He's a guy that's different. He's different than all their other tight ends. He's probably the most complete of any of the tight ends because he can do a lot of things pretty well. He's not flashy. He's not as fast as Tonyan. He's not as big as some of the other guys, but he's pretty darn good and he can do a bunch of things well. So that to me, and when they throw him the ball, it's usually a productive play.
Yeah.
So
he needs to be on the field more.
100%. Now I apologize for having a repeat guy on my Silent But Deadly, but this guy keeps showing up and he's in the interior defensive line. And so I know it's something a lot of people don't notice, but I still think Jaron Reed is doing pretty good. And it was kind of a quieter game, but he was doing pretty well most of the time. So my guy is Jaron Reed for 2 weeks out of six, Jaron Reed.
Hey, the defense did I'm not concerned as much about the defense, especially when they switched to playing more man. They looked a lot better.
Yeah.
Their gaps in the running game were mostly terrible tackles. And this defense wants to have a lead and then play with the lead, right? When we get behind and the other team starts running on us, you know, Jair's not going to tackle anybody. Stokes isn't going to tackle anybody. Savage isn't going to tackle anybody. It's just bad. It's bad news. We need to have the lead so those guys can do what they're best at. And when your offense stinks, guess what? We don't have the lead.
Now we got to look ahead to the Commanders here, Washington this year. Cool. Commanders. Unfortunately for us, Carson Wentz is not the quarterback. And that's the one thing you brought up the other night is that Taylor Heinicke is scarier than Carson Wentz for us and for a lot of teams, I think.
Taylor Heinicke is just a guy. He's a football player, you know? He's not going to, you know, throw the ball for 400 yards, but he might run for 100.
So with him at quarterback, does that make Joe Barry more afraid to play man because guys can be following their man and not be looking at the quarterback?
I would actually maybe use a spy. I would almost have Quay Walker spy for him. And that way, you know, Quay Walker won't be out of position on plays because he's reading too much if he's just worried about the quarterback every play, you know? And then smart if he, plan. You know, I think it'd be a smart move. Use his speed to do that, but they probably won't. So it's fine.
I hope they do. Walker can handle it. So I agree with that. Man, keep playing man. Don't go into this soft zone because you're worried about the quarterback running on you. Put a guy responsible for the quarterback like Quay Walker and let your guys man up and play to the best of their ability. The offense, it's pretty simple, right? Use Aaron Jones more and put the right guys in on the offensive line and it will be much better. Now, the Commanders should be an easier opponent, but you never know. It's the NFL and we've seen some crappy performances by this team in recent weeks. You'd expect better, but if they keep doing the trends they're doing and not making the switches they need to and adjustments they need to, you could see another scary result or a tight game when it probably shouldn't be. So, final scores. Lee says, Washington 27, Green Bay 20. Oh my gosh, Lee.
Well, Ben, any faith? Lee is our Green Bay correspondent. My opinion is I will not believe it until I see it. I know what they have to do, but will they do it? So I say no. They're going to lose.
Wow.
They're going to lose to the Commanders, who don't even have like field a complete team for God's sake.
I'm going with the Pack. They're bouncing back. Number 33 is going to get the rock. They're going to pull it out 24-20. I don't know, Ben. You got a score on that? They're going to lose, but what's your score?
I got no score.
All right. Fair enough. Look, man, they got to win because the Vikings keep winning, and you never catch them if you don't start winning too. So we'll be back next week. Another exciting game this Sunday. Packers playing Commanders. We'll see you next week here on Packer Outright Opinions. Evan, thank you for all your help and your time. Be good, everybody. Have a good weekend. Let me roll.